Thank you, Robert. Well, good morning and happy High Day to everyone watching. I'd like to start out with a little funny. It's about a rich woman who thought she had the perfect husband. Then this happened. There are several men in the locker room of a golf club. A cell phone on the bench rings, and the man engages the free speaker function and begins to talk to her. Everyone else in the room stops to listen. The man says, "Hello." The woman says, "Are you at the club?" The man says, "Yes." The woman says, "I'm at the mall now, and I found this beautiful leather coat. It's only $1,000. Is it okay if I buy it?" The man replies, "Sure, go ahead if you really like it." The woman then says, "You know, I also stopped by the Mercedes dealership and saw the new 2018 models. I saw one I really liked." The man replies, "How much?" The woman says, $98,000. The man says, "Okay, but for that price, make sure it comes with all the options." The woman then says, "Oh, one more thing." There's always one more thing. "The house I wanted last year is back on the market. They're asking $980,000. The man replies, "Well, then go ahead and make an offer of $900,000, and they'll probably take it. If not, go the extra $80,000. The woman says, "You're so generous. I love you so much." The man hangs up. Now, the other men in the locker room, they're staring at him in astonishment, and their mouths are wide open. The man turns to them and says, "Does anyone know who owns this phone?" The title of this message is Blessings from the Lord Who Delivers. On this last day of unleavened bread, we're going to review three stories in Exodus about blessings, and we're going to review the lessons for today. So let's look at the first story. The first story appears in Exodus chapter 11. After Moses had left Egypt, he had a wonderful family reunion with his wife, their two sons, and Jethro, his father-in-law and priest. Jethro was thrilled to hear that the Israelites were delivered from the oppression in Egypt and how it was all due to God's strength and goodness to bless his people. Jethro said, "Blessed be the Lord who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods." Exodus chapter 18, verses 10 and 11. The first story is about being blessed by the Lord, who is greater than all other gods. Even Pharaoh finally admitted that the Lord of Israel is greater than all the other gods. In Exodus chapter 7, Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron by night, and he said, "Rise and go from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord, as you have said. Also, take your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and be gone. And then he says, and bless me also. That's Exodus chapter 12, verse 31 and 32. Brethren, when it became perfectly clear to Pharaoh that Moses had access to a power greater than the Egyptians, Pharaoh says, bless me too. In these verses, Pharaoh is perhaps pleading as a person who has lost his son, or a person in pain, or a person being hurt by his own excessive pride and self-confidence. By saying, bless me also, Pharaoh may be asking our Lord for comfort in his loss, recognition for his pain, and some soothing words of comfort. Now let's look at the first lesson from the first story. The lesson from this story is simple. Let's always remember that our blessings come from our Lord, Jesus, who is greater than all gods. Brethren, let's never forget what King David said in Psalms 95:3. David said, for the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. Now let's move to the second story of a blessing. The second story about a blessing is found in the story of the golden calf in Exodus chapter 32. In this story, some of the Israelites worshiped a golden calf by making sacrifice on an altar near the golden calf. We know this story. The painful blessing of loyalty is found in Exodus chapter 32, verses 27 to 29. Verse 27 reads, and he said to them, thus says the Lord, God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side and go in and out from entrance to entrance throughout the camp, and let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. Verse 28 reads, so the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. In these two verses, we read about Moses asking all of the righteous Israelites who had not been involved in worshiping the calf to kill their relatives, friends, and neighbors. We learn that the Levites responded as a group, and on that day they went through the camp and killed 3,000 people who were their relatives, their friends, and their neighbors. Brethren, the lesson from the second story is found in verse 29. Verse 29 reads, then Moses said, consecrate yourself today to the Lord, that he may bestow on you a blessing this day, for every man has opposed his son and his brother. The lesson from this story is this. Whoever consecrated themselves to the Lord that day and opposed their relatives, their friends, and their neighbors would receive blessings and they would be set apart. Now I have a question, brethren. Is this story any different for us today? Please turn to Matthew chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10. And I'm going to start reading in verse 34. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. It reads, and this is Jesus speaking, "Do not think that I come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Brethren, a true disciple must take his cross and follow Jesus. They must be willing to face not only family hatred, but possible death. In these verses, our Lord did not ask us today to pledge our loyalty to him by physically killing some of our relatives or friends. However, our Lord is asking us to pledge our loyalty to him by asking us to follow him. Brethren, in following Jesus, we have sometimes emotionally killed some of our relatives or friends. In January 1987, over 31 years ago, I pledged my loyalty to Jesus and started to follow all of the commands, teachings, and the words of Jesus. This meant I had to stop celebrating Christmas, as we all have done, Easter, and other legal holidays with relatives and friends. It meant giving up many events on the Sabbath with relatives and friends. For me, it meant leaving Fresno and eventually moving to Orange County, where Christ had other plans for me. Brethren, you all know what I'm talking about because we have all had to make these tough and difficult choices. Well, brethren, my decision to pick up my cross and follow Jesus killed my mother and my oldest son emotionally. For the longest time, my mother and my oldest son were very mad at me. My oldest son would not talk to me. Or have anything to do with me for many years. When I married my best friend Gene in 1994, he did not attend our wedding. Now, while looking for wedding rings, I decided to buy a ring which had 4 small diamonds and 2 spaces for diamonds. The 4 diamonds always reminded me of the 4 blessings that I had: my wife Jean, my daughter Christina, and my 2 sons, John and Justin. The 2 empty spaces reminded me of the empty relationship that I had with my mother and my oldest son. It also reminded me of the things I needed to do to heal my relationship with my mother and my oldest son. When people would ask me, they would look at my ring and they would ask me, why 4 diamonds and not 6 diamonds? And I would tell him my story on why I bought that ring. I had four blessings, and I had two empty spaces. My faith was strong, brethren, and I always believe that if I continue to pledge my loyalty to our Father and follow Jesus, that they would eventually bless me with a good relationship with my mother and my oldest son. After 14 years, God finally blessed me with the desires of my heart. My relationship with my mother had healed, and my relationship with my oldest son was well on its way to being healed. Today, when he comes to San Clemente, he stays at our home. And on April 19th, we are going to Oklahoma to visit him. Yes, brethren, today my ring has six diamonds because I filled those empty spaces. Brother, my story is not unique. Most of you listening to this message today have also experienced the painful blessing of loyalty. The second lesson for us today is this, brethren. Let's continue to pledge our loyalty to our Lord so that we may continue to be blessed and set apart. Now let's move to the third story. And the third story is about plundering the Egyptians. Before the Exodus began, our Lord inspired the Egyptians to give the Israelites valuables to take with them as they made their exit. In Exodus chapter 3, it reads, "And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty-handed." Exodus chapter 3, verse 21. "But every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, for you shall plunder the Egyptians." Exodus chapter 3, verse 22. The payment of silver, gold, and clothing is a great example of our Lord keeping his promises. You see, centuries earlier, our Lord had promised Abraham that when his descendants finally left the bondage of Egypt, they would go out with great possessions. You'll find that in Genesis chapter 15, verse 14. Brethren, our Lord's promises never fail. It's in the Bible. In Joshua chapter 23, Joshua says, "You know with all your heart and soul that not one of the good promises the Lord, your God, gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed." Joshua chapter 23, verse 14, that's in the NIV. Brethren, a promise is only as good as the person making the promise. And the red letter promises of Jesus are from our Lord God. He is the one who sits at the right hand of our Father, and he is the one who cannot lie. Brethren, I have a question. What does our Lord promise us? On this last day of unleavened bread, let's review the red letter promises of Jesus to remind ourselves of the promises he thought were most important. Today, we're only going to review the positive promises, and please forgive me if I miss any. Please remember, brethren, many of our Lord's promises are conditional. This means to receive his promises, we may have to demonstrate some action. For your convenience, I have prepared a list for you of these promises, and they will be available on the information kiosk after services. Now let's start by reviewing the red letter promises for us today. These are the promises we can expect to see materialize in our daily lives. Jesus promises us peace and deliverance from fear. He promises to set us free, to take care of our day-to-day needs. He promises us rest, and he promises us good, not harm. Jesus promises to comfort us, and he promises mercy. He promises to heal us, to save us from being lost, and promises us rewards on earth. Jesus promises to not cast out anyone who comes to him. Jesus promises to forgive our sins, to be in his family, and he promises us his words will never pass away. Jesus promises he will be resurrected from the dead, and he promises to ascend to his and our Father, and to his God and our God. And Jesus promises that his people will follow him. Jesus also promises his Father will honor anyone who serves Jesus. And he promises that no one comes to or knows the Father except through Jesus. Jesus promises the Father will love us, and both Jesus and the Father will come and make their home with us. And Jesus promises that we will bear much fruit and be his disciples. Jesus promises us joy. He promises to be our friend, and he promises to give us the Spirit of truth, guiding us into all truth. These are the promises that will materialize in our life today. Now let's look at the red letter promises of Jesus for the future. Jesus promises us the resurrection of the good and evil, and he promises us his second coming. He promises us eternal life, and he promises us to be heirs of the kingdom on earth. Jesus also promises us that we will eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Jesus promises to give us the crown of life, and he will not be hurt, and we will not be hurt by the second death. Jesus promises us hidden manna to eat and a new name written on a white stone. He promises to give us power over the nations and give us the morning star. He promises to clothe us in white garments, to not blot out our name from the book of life, and confess our name before his Father and before his angels. Jesus promises to make us a pillar in the temple of his God, to write on us the name of his God, the name of the city of his God, and the new name of Jesus. Jesus promises to grant us the opportunity to sit with him on his throne just as he sat down with his Father on his throne. Jesus promises to give a reward to everyone according to their work. Brethren, our Lord is a God of promises. From Genesis to Revelation, you can find examples of our Lord fulfilling his promises to his people. These red letter promises are the promises of Jesus the Christ, and we can trust him to be faithful and keep his promises. Now, brethren, when our Lord gives us a promise, we must understand there may come a time of testing to see if we are going to be faithful to him and deserving of his promises. Let's look at the lesson of the third story. The lesson for us today is God always keeps his promises. Brethren, all of the red letter promises of Jesus are not extravagant. They are being fulfilled among us quickly and sometimes slowly. The guarantee is they will always materialize in our life if we work for them. Let's conclude, brethren, with this summary. Let's review the three lessons from the three stories during the Exodus. Lesson one, our Lord is greater than all the other gods. Lesson two, by pledging our loyalty to Jesus and following him, we will be blessed and set apart. Lesson three, our Lord keeps his promises. Brethren, on the last day of unleavened bread, isn't it encouraging and exciting to know that the Lord, who we worship and praise, who delivered us from slavery and out of the hands of Satan, who watches over us daily with love, is greater than all other gods. Brethren, let's do the right thing. Let's continue to pledge our loyalty to Jesus. Let's continue to follow him and do the works he did, so that we will receive our Lord's red letter promises in this present life and in the life tomorrow. Thank you.